Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
Class, 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 and not your ass. 104.9 The Horn, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com. It's Father's Day. Happy June 20th. My man Sam bringing you in and all through his Austin radio airwaves. We know what we got to do, Sammy. Crank it up, baby! Baseball, hook 'em horns, you know it. Mississippi State, the Dogs. Well, that's actually the Georgia Bulldogs when that guy went Bulldogs Spurrier. Actually, that's it's the Mississippi Bulldogs that we're playing, not the Georgia Bulldogs. But that's a great clip, the Dogs clip. But that's what we're talking about. You're going down, Dogs. That's right, Dogs. Cam Williams coming to get you. The Zoo Bomb coming to get you, baby. And not to mention all the rotations. It's the 37th trip to Omaha, and we ain't coming back with any without any hardware, maybe. It's been championship or bust, World Series or bust the entire time. And that's what I love about the mindset of this Texas baseball team. We'll talk a little bit about that. We got a lot more in store, man. Hour number three of the Wagner Wire. Got to talk a lot about fantasy, you know, sports coming up at the bottom of the hour.
It's like your thing.
We are a fantasy-centric show. That's kind of how we got onto the airways. But this, kind of like the tree of Austin, it's with Austin FC, it has got roots planted and it has just grown, all right? But I like to use the analogy of the house because during the pandemic, you were along the ride with me for the pandemic. We kind of evolved our mantra and the Wagner Wire, I guess, slogan. It went from where fantasy grinders become fantasy sports champions to, you know, the four pillars of life, which are fantasy sports, clearly, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Your base.
Video games.
New
That's
base.
The other pillar.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have music, and then you have movies. Those four pillars create the strong and sturdy stark foundation of the Wagner Wire.
I know, because you can talk about everything.
That's just it. It goes all around, 24/7, all the time, baby.
I mean, I'm glad that you didn't spoil it for me, because you were talking about that whole new Loki series, and I'm like, okay.
I was getting ready to, and then I remembered. So so that was why I had Sam bring me on with Sturgill Simpson, because that line, there's a gateway in our minds, you know, that stretched far beyond this plane, where reptile aliens made of light. You know, just so it reminds me of a couple of my buddies, but it also reminds me of Marvel Cinematic, or just going somewhere and having, you know, fantasy.
Oh, I think that's what sometimes gets lost, even though you live in the live music capital of the world, of how good some, like, how poignant some music can be to a certain aspect of your life. And you'll hear a song and it could take you back instantaneously.
Oh, sure.
And that's the power of music, and that's why it's such an important pillar to the Wagner Way.
Where would we be without music? Like, seriously, like, think about that. Where would we be without music? Where would we be without video games?
I mean,
you know, a certain part of, like, say what you will, like, there is a culture out there 40 and below, and I'm speaking to myself, where video games is a big part of my life. It was basically the babysitter.
It's kind of funny, because we ended up being the age where
Sam,
video games...
Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, like, was video games not a huge aspect of your life? Or are they not now?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Still is to this day.
like, and I guess it's kind of lost upon the generation before me, but I mean, my older
brother, easily.
My older brother got, you know, with Atari and ColecoVision, Buck Rogers ColecoVision.
ColecoVision, it's going to be a good afternoon. But no, Wags, I mean, the video game thing is a really interesting aspect because we were in the middle of like, hey, if you were a teenager playing video games at that time, you were just seen as a geek. It was nerdy. And then slowly over time, it became accepted as part of like pop culture.
Sure.
And to kind of be a part of that, like to go from the tough times to where it was like you're kind of outcast for playing the games, right, to being like, right, hey, oh, you know all the history, man. That's really cool. Da da da. Like, it's been interesting to see. But yeah, I mean.
And dude, don't tell me you don't feel that stigma too. Like, you're talking to some adults and like, you know, you want to say, hey, man, did you see that video game?
You know, yeah.
I mean? Like, hey, are you playing a new FIFA, man? Like, and you maybe go to the water, you know, you go to the water cooler or whatever where you get your water from, or you go to the canteen and you're working, you're just like, hey, man, did you see that new Ratchet and Clank drop?
You know how we were talking about manly men things earlier with the grilling and stuff? You
sure.
Know, one of the things
machismo,
that,
yes.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things about the machismo is I realize that sometimes men don't necessarily keep long-term friendships. All the time, it's hard to...
Hulk Hogan never kept a long-term friendship.
No, he had one. It was Ed Leslie, Booty Man.
See, look
Big
at
Bad
this.
Booty Daddy. Yeah.
Stu's going to prompt Stu's phone call right now.
Well, the Big Bad Booty Daddy's a Scott Steiner. Yeah, but Stu's going to call back now because of that. But
that
no,
was Scott Steiner? Look at you guys.
The Big Bad Booty Daddy? Yeah.
That's good, man.
But I was going to say, like, you know, the video game aspect of it, that sometimes helps guys stay in contact because you're playing the game, you can talk to each other. And for some reason, that can be much easier than picking up the phone to make a call.
True. No, that's...
It's just kind of like, oh, I'm not just calling you just to call you to say what's up. Sometimes that can be a little awkward. This is like that instantaneous icebreaker. Like, hey, you guys are going to play against each other or work together. And then you can chat in between that.
No, I get that, man. But I don't even usually... So with the video games now, man, like when I play online, man, usually it's just I'm playing solos now.
Well, I mean, now you have an audience that you're streaming for most of the time when you play.
I wonder if that's why, because it's hard for me to. So I see people like Doc Disrespect and Tim the Tat Man. Like, mm-hmm. I see these guys play on teams and whatnot, but they also have an audience. But see, I feel compelled or obligated to talk to my audience when I'm in a stream. You know what I mean? And again, we're talking about this because this is how the evolution of the Wagner Wire happened, man, with the pandemic. You know, we got into streaming, we got into doing video games more than just fantasy sports.
Yeah, definitely expanded. I am interested, though, like, how does one stream when they just start out? Because, like, for Twitch, I mean, like, look.
It's kind of like a podcast. You just do it.
Well,
you just put it out
well,
there.
Well, I'll say this,
and
though.
You adjust on your way.
Like, I know people are listening here, so that makes it easy to come up with questions where I expect interaction and then I can ask how your day was or what you're experiencing out there and get an answer back. But if I'm streaming, like, and I have tried it before, you know, maybe I get like one or two people.
Right.
Well, I don't know what to talk about.
That's discouraged. You know what I mean? So it can be discouraging
at
times.
But not even the discouraging part. It's like when nobody's tuning in, it's like, am I supposed to be saying something? Am I supposed to be acting like, oh, yeah, wow, ooh, I almost made that goal. Wow, that was really bad.
So that's what I do. Like, I'll talk myself, I'll sound like an idiot. Mm-hmm. But I'll talk myself through the game, and I'll be like, now look, I'm going to walk this corner. And they always teach you to check your corners, right? So when you're going through this building here, I mean, check this corner here. Or, you know what, this looks like a suspect building. We're going to go top down here.
See, but at least you have like real expertise in that. It's like, all I do is play FIFA and 2K. I'm not even the best at it. So it's kind of hard to really have anything to say about it except like, oh, that was close. Ah, got FIFA'd. you know. You know how it goes.
The one line that's just automatic in FIFA is if you score, you know, it's just wait 1 second because the opposing squad is going to score, you know, just in a matter of 2 minutes.
Yeah, you get that little computer advantage, yep. Kind of like an NBA Jam.
It is. That's exactly what happens, man.
It's like, nope, now the defense is going to fall asleep and the other team is going to score and we're going to be tied at 1-1.
We got an update from the UEFA Euros
UEFA.
2020 there. In Group A, Switzerland and Turkey there. Switzerland has a one-goal lead in the 11th minute, about to turn over into the 12th minute there of play.
Well, that means that Turkey more than likely is going to go home
they
after this.
They will be going home, yeah.
And they were a dark horse pick, for a lot of people out there. So
who is your pick? You know, I can't believe I didn't ask you this. Who's your pick to win the Euros?
Sadly, England. But it probably is going to be like a team like France. Germany's looking
pretty
good.
Do you like Belgium at all?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when you have Lukaku and De Bruyne, I mean, how can you not?
Can I ask you, is the golden age of Belgium soccer Is it over or is it coming to the end?
No, this is the peak of it. But okay. Defensively, they're still weak and they're missing Virgil van Dijk.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, they're not missing van Dijk. Going to say the Netherlands is missing van Dijk.
But, you know, Vertonghen and Adewald, you know,
they're just old.
Yeah, they need some fresh legs.
Their attack is world class, but they're going to be a little light on the defense and they're going to hope that their midfield and that their forwards can help win games. They're going to really be banking on De Bruyne and Lukaku.
Thibaut Courtois, he's got to come up big. And then, I mean, that big frame, he's got to cover all of that goal because, you know, like you said, that back line is suspect. It's just old.
And Hazard's going to have to play well, better than he played for Real Madrid. That's for sure.
Yeah, really disappointing season for Ian. And I'm not trying to be petty. I don't root like bad for bad things, but, you know, it left a bad taste in my mouth when he wanted to leave Chelsea. Like, he didn't want to play in London. Like, I get it. The weather isn't the greatest in London, and Spain's got better weather.
Yep.
And you're closer to Belgium. I understand that. Actually, you're not. You're farther away.
But
from a geographical reference. But still, and you want to play. Real Madrid is one of the biggest clubs. It is arguably the top club in the world. But still, like, you left a chance to be great. I'm kind of glad he did because the young talent wouldn't have been able to come on and surge.
Exactly. They utilized that money smartly and they were able 100. To produce a good roster. But I keep on thinking that England, I don't know, man, I guess it's part of the pessimist in me. Like, there's just something about the pain and the misery that England suffers because they're supposed to be good and they never really achieve what they set out for that kind of attracts me to that team. You know, because I can really relate with that.
I get you, yeah.
Like the real painful artist. It's like, oh, you're so close, but yet so far. And it's like, I can really relate to that. I mean, the Netherlands is another one of those picks that I really like. It's just because Memphis Depay is having his coming out party. But
nice.
The question is, it's like, do they have enough in the back without Virgil van Dijk to push forward? But England, France, and obviously Germany with the way that they played against Portugal, I think they'll be better next time. Portugal will be, and you can't count them out because they're the defending champions of this tournament.
Like, Spain will get through the group too, and they're always you know, or recently they've been, you know, top notch, or I guess some contenders. But do you think they can actually survive and get through?
They'll get through, but they're not going to get much further. They're a team that desperately needs a true striker, and I guess now they realize how good Fernando Torres and David Villa were in their primes because they have not had another striker.
Hasn't been anyone, yeah.
No, they've tried, but they haven't had another striker of that caliber to come through and help what is a pretty well-rounded team, but Spain just doesn't have it. I think France, I mean, they're just so strong. Conte, Pogba, you think of their attacking options. I know they weren't playing great against Hungary, but this Italian
France
team
is my favorite. Yeah, like, now I would say that people are sleeping on Italy too. As a matter of fact, let's go to the someone on the Spec Sex Line says that too. Aside from the obvious Belgium, France, and the pre-selected winter England, watch out for the Italy boys. They're netting goals at a fairly rapid rate. They're turning it over pretty well.
And you're not going to see him today because Verratti is back, but Locatelli, who's the Sassuolo kid, the 23-year-old that everybody was questioning, like, hey, why bring him on? I mean, that was a really good pick to bring him along for the ride because he's having a coming out party. Don't be surprised if he's going to be playing. I heard that Juve was already looking to try to sign him, so he's going to be making some bank if he can continue to put on good performances here for Italy. But this is, when you think of the term Calinaccio, and I probably mispronounced that, but you think of a true Italian soccer where it's supposed to be ugly, gritty, defensive,
grind,
and trying to score, and grind you. This is not that. This is like a sexy Italian sports car. They're playing like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. They're taking all their curves. They're making all the plays. They're playing fast. This is not how Italy has played before. This is a sexy Italian team with their style of football. So don't be surprised if Italy is in the Final Four and somehow finds a way to win the European Championship.
Are you surprised Immobile didn't play?
They might be saving him for the knockout round because Italy is more than...
He's got to come on in the 60th minute, though.
Maybe. He could use some scoring just to kind of get into the... to be in the form.
Already down the pitch, just one... Playing the long ball well. They do build-ups well. There's a lot that Italy does well. If you're trying to watch the match, you can find it on ESPN, Italy versus Wales. And then on ESPN2, you have the other...
the other game going on in Group A, you got Switzerland versus Turkey, and Switzerland almost with another goal right there.
Well, honestly,
in the 17th minute.
The reason why Italy is pretty good is because of your Chelsea boy and Jorginho.
Thank you very much. I didn't want to be the homer that actually said that.
You could have said it, man.
No, I tip my cap a lot. I throw a lot of shameless plugs in there about the teams that I follow.
Nah, he's good.
He just controls the pace. He really does.
He makes all the right passes. He controls the tempo from that deep position.
Sometimes I feel like he tries to do a little bit too much, or he tries to, you know, step out of his game, which I admire that. You know what I mean? I always, you know, always go for the win for sure. Oh, and you know, we'll talk about, you know, the difference between winning and losing too. But yeah, like to me, you know, it's just a gift. You take that midfield of Chelsea, right? You got Jorginho, and then you have, you know, N'Golo Kanté. Like,
it's a really good pairing.
How do you get past those two? Like, that's and that's not even it. You know, sometimes when you play the 3-5-2.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you very much.
I was going to ask you, who do you have for your pick for the Euro? I mean, you know,
I like France.
You like France?
I like France.
Is it just based off of the uniforms, or is it just because of the players?
Pretty colors. No, I mean, it's just like what I said. They got the best midfielder in the world, N'Golo Kanté.
Is he going to win the Ballon d'Or?
You know what? I think he rightfully deserves it.
Jeez, man. I mean, like,
think about it. Just no. Think about
Lewandowski. We didn't even talk about Poland. He played well yesterday too because he scored. But I mean, that guy broke the Bundesliga scoring record, and he had games to spare.
No down or slap to the face to Bundesliga, but it's Bundesliga.
No, I understand, but I mean, Lewandowski is not just doing it for club.
Where's Bundesliga on your world leagues? Like, where does it rank? Is it even third? No. It's fourth.
You have it fourth?
I got it fourth.
Really?
I like Serie A.
I don't know if Serie A is as strong as the Bundesliga right now, just because they've had more, like, Bayern Dortmund alone, I mean, account for more Champions Leagues than
you're right. I mean, they put together some really strong Champions League contestants and finalists for team, or, you know, just runners for teams in that league. But to me, I think Serie A, I think it's just got more parity.
No, I mean, I totally understand. I'm just kind of like, I just thought in Germany, especially with the rise of RB Leipzig and the fact that Leverkusen was playing well, and that it did come down to some of the final weeks this year in order to determine a champion, and it wasn't just going to be Dortmund and Bayern, that it has continued to grow. And we're starting to see that some of those
starting
teams,
to see it sustain. If it sustains for another year or two, then yeah, absolutely. It's got the nod, I think.
Because, I mean, obviously France is like the least strong of the big leagues.
Liga 1.
Yeah.
How do you say one in Spain? In France?
Legal. We can call Jerome Quatanavis, our good French friend here, and we'll ask him, but I'm pretty sure it's
trying to get my tongues down. Yeah, but, all right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between winning and losing, right? And I know we got JD Lewis that's getting ready to come on here in about 10 minutes, but so I had a really good conversation with my buddy Brian Fitzgerald yesterday. You can find him on Twitter at The Thing Radio. And okay, we were talking the difference between not just great players, but like elite players too. Like there's elite players out there, athletes that enjoy winning more than they fear and hate losing.
Yes.
Whereas there's where I think he and I agree and think that the ones that separate, like Tom Brady, loves winning, but he hates losing more.
It's almost.
Like, I think what we're trying to say is that's the paradigm. That's the thing that separates the greatest from the goats.
It's funny that you say that. Because the way I look at it, it's like a two-pronged thing for me here. Because, yes, that's...
Do you understand what we're trying to...
Oh, no, I see what you're saying. And I look at it two ways. And it's like, one, you have to have that mentality to be elite. Like, you have to hate losing.
Exactly, 100.
You have to hate losing, and you have to love to win. And
you have to appreciate winning.
And not only appreciate it, but you have to want to win at everything. It can't just be what you're playing. No, you want to win at everything.
At all costs. Like I want to have a better looking paper than you.
Yeah, I want to have
I want to have better handwriting.
I want to be able to finish the strength before you do. You know, it's a competition for everything with those type of people. And that's why I was going to say, for those that are not the elite, that are not great, it could be looked at as a sickness. It's like, oh, you're just overly competitive. But in order, oh, easily, because right. Like, no offense to like my cousin, he's a good player and stuff, but he's not elite. But I feel that he's overly competitive, and I have other friends that I feel are overly competitive.
Overly competitive.
Yeah, but it's like you're not elite, unfortunately, at like a pro level at some things that you might be overly competitive at, and then you're just kind of like, oh man, come on, you just ruined my fun. But I understand if it's like, hey, you're getting paid to play this game, and this is your profession. Hell yeah, you better be the most overly competitive person out there to be elite.
I subscribe to that. Not the default thing,
man. And we were talking about Portugal earlier. You look at a player like Cristiano Ronaldo. Yes, he has talent, but he's one of those guys. You always saw those kids in high school, the ones that were going to be good athletes but just never worked at it. And the coaches would always be telling them, like, hey, you need to
put a little bit in, man.
And they're not even saying much. They're just like, you just put in a little bit, and you would be surprised how much better you would be as an athlete. Think about the guy that was on your team that was the true hustler, the one that probably didn't start.
The hustle rat that didn't have all the skills.
Yeah, the one that just wanted to be a part of the team, so he grinded to get on the team and earn a playing. Think about like a Rudy. So you take that type of attitude and add it to the talent, and then you get greatness. So it's not just like that over-competitiveness. It's also that work ethic. Like, it really is true. Like, yes, you need to be mentally strong, want to win, but you have to be able to train your talent and be trainable.
Yeah, be coachable, yeah. 100. Well, I want to continue this conversation. We got to take a break. First, before we go to break, England is never going to win until Sterling learns how to pass the ball.
You know, the funny part is, I bet you it was an Englishman that wrote that.
Right. Okay. Don't go anywhere. We got J.D. Lewis on the other side of the break. You can find him on Twitter at J.D. Lewis FF for fantasy football. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. And let's just waste no time about it. I am anticipating the chaos that might amount here in this phone call. J.D. Lewis joins the show right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. And he is, I guess, in transit. And he's got some chaos that could erupt here in his car. So I want to get to the questions before, you know, maybe the chaos erupts. JD, first off, you're an avid fantasy football player. Thank you so much for joining the Wagner Wire today, man. I always appreciate your input and how well you have a pulse on the game.
Absolutely, man. Always enjoy talking shop when it comes to fantasy stuff. I don't know how much you've gotten into dynasty stuff, but I've gotten into it pretty big time. So I don't do as much of the best ball this time of year, but I'm definitely, ear to the pavement because for dynasty news as well as getting ready for keeper leagues and redrafts and all that fun stuff.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because let's just go right to it. I mean, now is the time. Sure, you should be doing some mock drafts and getting ready for best ball and traditional fantasy football leagues, but, you know, fantasy savants like yourself and me, we tend to, you know, be attracted to just the complete control type of league with dynasty leagues. And I guess, I think what really, pulled my eye up with you is the fact, or raised my eyebrow with you, is the fact that both of us really seem to be enjoying this league, this app called Sleeper App.
Yeah, the Sleeper App, I think, has really kind of revolutionized fantasy to an extent. And a lot of the reasons that you may, so I have a keeper league, and I've been thinking about switching over to Sleeper from that, and really just start to get everything compiled onto Sleeper. But there's a number of different reasons why you might not want to do that. Well, they've been gradually addressing all of those, but it all started just with somebody telling me about Dynasty. And I'd heard about Dynasty, and I always thought, well, that's not that much fun. You have the same team for forever and ever. Like, how is that fun? Well, how do you not have guys quit because their team's not as good or something like that? Well, You know, you do deal with that a little bit, but when you have the right set of guys, you know, if you're not winning, you're starting to build towards next year, the year after, and you're doing that through trades and through acquiring rookie picks and using those. And so, yeah, right. I think Sleeper, you're right. I mean, Sleeper's an incredible platform, but they're building out everything else for all of the other platforms beyond Dynasty, but it started as a Dynasty-centric one. But, yeah, I'm a big, big fan of it and starting to move. I think I'm going to be moving most of my leagues over there. My biggest deal was not having league history.
Right. Yeah, that was a big crutch.
Yeah, and they're addressing that somehow. I don't know how, but they are. They're going to be taking a lot of business from a lot of these kind of platforms that just don't have the customization or are too customizable. So it's right. Like that perfect in between.
So, JD, I mean, how's your league set up? Because mine, I mean, sure, it's customizable like you just mentioned. So mine, but I think this is kind of like the standard for most Dynasty leagues, right? There's you keep your team all throughout history, like you mentioned, but there's also a rookie draft to where you only have three rounds. And you mentioned that you can acquire picks all throughout, you know, this season to acquire picks from next season. And you don't, the thing that I love about this is the lack of restrictions, right? You don't have to say, all right, well, if I give you a 2022 pick, you know, I can only acquire, you know, I can only acquire this much draft capital here. So I guess I have to give you, you know, a 2025 pick just to balance out our draft picks. You don't have to do this in Sleeper. You can keep acquiring as much draft capital as you want.
Absolutely. You can have as many picks as you want. So most of my leagues, my dynasty ones are 10 team right now, and I'll get into some 12 teamers, but I really just started getting into dynasty last year. And so because it's 10, your player pool and your, right. is a little bit, you know, if you're 12 now and three rounds, that's 36. Well, what we actually do is we go six rounds with 10. So 60 rookies coming in, but we also have more taxi squad spots. So basically your fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks can go sit on your taxi squad, which is essentially your practice squad that doesn't count against your active roster.
Right.
And then our active roster sizes are 27-man deep.
It's crazy.
So really, it takes 270 players out of consideration, and you're doing free agent auction with basically the rest of the guys and any leftover rookies beyond the top 60 at the time.
I have to ask, like, if you weren't talking with us right now while you're driving in the car, would you be thinking about your team at this very moment?
Oh yeah.
No, for sure. Sunday morning, it's like the perfect time to be sitting around watching a little bit of the U.S. Open and tinkering with just, you know, looking at other teams, still recognize. I mean, I pretty much have the other teams in my first Dynasty League, like, memorized at this point, so I kind of know the holes and whatnot. But I definitely look and admire my team plenty because it's so easy and so quick on your phone on Sleeper.
Okay.
And then I'm also getting prepared for another dynasty startup that I'm going to be doing on Monday, and I won't know my draft position until the end of the U.S. Open because we have 10 golfers assigned to us, and all 10 made the cut, and all 10 are within about four strokes of each other. And
wow.
So I could be drafting second. I could be drafting last. I've got Xander Schauffele, so go X-Man. but that's kind of, I'll be tracking all that today and definitely mocking and doing other things through Sleeper.
Speaking with JD Lewis, you can find him on Twitter at JD Lewis FF. He's an avid fantasy football player with a hell of a jump shot. JD, like you mentioned it, man, you got a great pulse on what's going on with this Dynasty League or with Dynasty Leagues, and you do it through Sleeper app. What's some of the key transactions that you've seen just in the offseason or that you have tried to make? Like, so I, for example, I hold Julio Jones, and I also hold, Derrick Henry. To me, I feel like Derrick Henry maybe has one or two more years to where he's got elite running, so that's kind of a piece that I would like to move now and get as much value or return on investment as I can. And then also, you know, I feel like with, you know, the advent of Julio Jones to Tennessee, does that take his value down, or does it make it a little bit more going from, you know, Matt Ryan to Tannehill?
I think having the threat of having Tannehill being able to go to both those guys is going to open up for Derrick Henry big time. I would definitely try to trade one of those two, though. I mean, I'm
right. Too much stock in Tennessee.
Well, yeah, and they both are have about 1 to 2 years left, probably.
Right.
I mean, at an elite level, and Julio still, like, he'll be elite when he's healthy. And Derrick Henry has stayed pretty healthy, and honestly, he doesn't have that many carries when you kind of look at his career. He's just had a lot the last few years. Can he keep going? And he's kind of a freak. So, yeah, I definitely think he can run at a high level for at least another year or two. And really with Dynasty, we're looking 3 years out all the time.
Sure.
With the exception of certain quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, guys like that. So, if I'm you, it really comes down to, okay, which one do I have more depth at running back or receiver?
Sure. Yeah.
And that's going to drive which one I trade or which one can I just get more value out of? And the value is not what you think it is. It's what your league mates think that it is.
Right.
So you have to start getting everybody's pulse on both players and going and looking at holes on those teams and seeing where you can kind of help fill their holes. And you have to be realistic about it, right?
Sure.
Like, you got to know what helps both of our teams. Like, that's got to always be the goal in these trades. It can't be to win the trade because
right.
That's just like
– you'll just meet dead ends, right?
Mentality. Yeah. Yeah. Either one of those, though. I mean, I running backs are really hard to find right now. So if you can get a lot of value for Derrick Henry and get a young running back and another piece, you should go for it. And so kind of, you know, your original question, what moves did I make? I made a lot of moves last year because I dealt with some pretty tough injuries. I pretty much had Dak go down, but also some others. So early on in week 5, after Alvin Kamara scored 50 points, I traded him for Saquon Barkley, who was out for the year with an ACL tear, to start building towards the next year. So
right.
I traded for him and got a first-round pick and got Chris Godwin. Now, there were some other packages like with Kamara that I sent, but it was older receivers, guys that maybe don't have all that much time left. And so that was a deal that really, for me in Dynasty, I was not sacrificing this year necessarily. I still thought I could compete until Dak went down a few weeks later. But yeah, I pulled the trigger at the perfect time and got the max return that I could get for Alvin Kamara. And I really didn't lose all that much in the grand scheme of things because Saquon, I actually like more this year than
tomorrow.
So do I. Tomorrow. Yeah.
Me too, man. Especially just coming off, you know, he's got to feel like he's got to prove this injury or prove himself, you know, coming off this injury in this rookie contract. I'm a Giants fan, so there might be a little bit of homer play
just
there.
Just a little bias.
Just
huh?
a little bias. But JD, I mean, so you mentioned your roster moves. What have you seen and been monitoring throughout all your dynasty leagues that has been the hottest transaction or probably the hottest commodity / acquisition that teams are trying to get?
So I had a lot of guys offering me for Devontae Smith. He was a guy that fell in our rookie draft to 1.10. And I thought that was – or actually 2.1, my bad, 2.01. So that was like a crazy steal for me, having the worst record last year. I had the first pick in the second round. And so I've had – next year's first rounder and 2 second rounders offered for him. I have turned them down because of the position that my team is in. Because I'm built, essentially, I've built my team with youth and stuff. I don't need to go acquire a bunch of future picks.
Right,
I'm ready
it'd
to
kind of be like counterproductive, wouldn't it?
Exactly. That, and I don't even know what those picks are going to be. So now, what was enough for me to do that would have been 2 first rounders. And so I countered
right.
him. And said, I'll do it for your 22 and your 23. And the main reason there, I think the guy kind of thought similarly to me, is that I'm trying to really acquire first rounders in 2023 because that's when Bijan Robinson's coming out. That's when Isaiah Spiller's coming out. Some other guys that are pretty darn good. You've got Darrell Evans or something like that from TCU that's really good. Yeah, there's about 3 or 4 really studly running backs, Bijan being the guy that I want the most. And so the first rounder this guy wouldn't trade me was the 23 first rounder. And so I was like, well, that's the deal. I want that, and I'll do it for that. But some other guys out there that I think people have been, you know, somewhat aggressive for in my league, Kenny Gainwell went for a shockingly high amount of draft capital for or future capital. The same guy that was going for Devontae Smith went for – Kenny Gainwell got him for, I think it was like 2 seconds and a third. And Gainwell was like a late second round pick in our rookie draft. And so it just felt like an extreme overpay for a guy to go get.
Maybe that's just his thing is overpaying. I don't know.
Well, you know, or he just loves Kenny Gainwell. and in Dynasty, that's kind of the thing is go get your guy.
Maybe they went to school together.
Yeah, absolutely. Could have been it. And so, you know, he does have Hurts. So maybe he's trying for some kind of a connection there or some kind of a stack. I wouldn't be stacking the Eagles personally this year. But, Wags, I didn't realize you were such a big Giants fan. You and I are going to be talking a lot of Giants because I've also got, like, Daniel Jones on my team, and I've got a Kenny Galladay, some shares of Kenny Galladay.
Nice.
So I'm going to be also rooting for the Giants.
So, JD, an old trick in the book is what I was told to me. You know, if you ever want to have somebody just say yes to you, you got to ask them, you know, stuff on the spot. Like, my intentions of having you on here today was set up future success interviews with you coming on the Wagner Wire for fantasy football stuff during the NFL season. So, JD, I would love to have you come on and be more of an avid guest and a frequent guest on the Wagner Wire and give us all the knowledge that you have, man.
I'm always happy to do it, man. Always happy to do it.
All right, brother. Well, look, man, you enjoy the rest of your Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you, dude. And thank you so much for taking time out of your Father's Day to come on here and spit a little bit of nerdism here with fantasy football in this round.
Always happy to do it. I hope I didn't get too nerdy.
Nah, man. We enjoy it. You know this crew, bro. There he goes, man. JD, thank you so much. JD Lewis, you can find him on Twitter at JDLewisFF. One of the best in the business to do it, man. Hey, we got to take a break. I'm sorry. We don't have to. Are we way behind? Oh, no, we got to take a break. Sorry, man. Poor clock management. It happens time to time here on the Wagner Wire. Don't go anywhere. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Oh, here I am, myself, Justin Simmons, Sam Pikachu, bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. The Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. Tom McKay, Audiovisual Consultations. Big sponsor of the show here. Big, big believer in Adam Thomas Wagner. One of the few. One of the few out there. Enough so that he's able to enhance my viewership of sports, movies, video games, and life itself there at La Casa de Wagner Wire. Did I say that right?
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to put in the golf simulator.
I don't know. So here's the thing about golf, man. Golf really upsets me. It frustrates me. Like, you can go out and shoot, like, I think the best I've ever shot is like a 102. I never broke 100. Well, I've been close.
I mean, how much were you drinking beforehand? I mean,
Is that the fuel of success?
The way to enjoy golf, look, the best I've ever shot is like an 80-something.
Are you serious? That's crazy. Amazing.
In comparison, it's good, but in comparison to the people that really play golf, it's
80?
Not.
You're shooting an 80?
I can shoot in the 80s. I'm not saying that I'm going to do it consistently.
Sam, do you play?
You play on the links?
Technically, I have a perfect score because I have never played.
Oh, there you go. I thought you were going to pull like some Wii U stuff.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Wii Golf
Mario Golf.
What used to be Tiger Woods PGA Tour.
That's the GOAT. That's the GOAT.
That was awesome. I used to play that all the time.
Don't get me wrong, man. I do love Pete, you know, the new one, the 2K one. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
But Tiger Woods is just, you can hit that, get the ball red with your turbo and everything.
Let me tell you, the way to enjoy golf is to get something light that you can drink. Session beer, you know, so you can have like six of them.
Sure.
Get the golf cart. And go when the sun is setting for the sundowner, so you don't have to pay full price.
Okay.
And just acknowledge to yourself before you start
that you're not going to have a good round.
Exactly. Right. And you should buy a lot of golf balls. Don't invest in the Titleist. Don't invest in those high market balls.
Though. I buy like the $3 balls, man.
Nah,
like,
just go to the bucket. Just go to the driving range and ask them just to give you all the ones that they don't want.
As far. The driving range.
I know
balls
they don't,
but
they're not going to go straight anyways. So don't worry. You're going to be searching for them most of the time.
So I really wanted to talk about Loki today, but you know, honoring the fact that you haven't won.
I know. I'm not going to get paid for this one, but you know, if you want to try to enjoy some golf, just go out to the Pitch and Putt over downtown off of Lamar. I think that's Butler's Pitch and Putt.
All right.
And it's a 9-hole course. You can walk it. It doesn't look like it's supposed to be there, but it's like you're in the middle of a little golf course in the middle of downtown, and all you need is a chipping wedge, a wedge and a putter, and they sell beer and it's a good time.
You know, when I was in my 20s, I would spend my Sundays, right? Like, when I was off, you know, on Liberty, when I would come home from the Marines and
yeah, when you're on leave.
Yeah. Well, leave is different than liberty. Liberty's just like weekend libo. You know what I mean? Leave is actually days that are charged.
So we're like, would you be living like on a base and then you were free
right.
for the weekend?
So I would be in North Carolina and I would drive up. It was crazy to do this, but I would drive up to Maryland on Friday nights.
How long would that take?
About 5.5.
Okay. That's still pretty far.
Yeah, it's pretty far. It's a pretty far drive for what, a day and a half to see, you know, your significant other.
Well, I guess to see the missus.
She was worth it. So
yeah.
But anyways, I would spend that Sunday, you know, Sunday morning just going out to this little golf range and trying to perfect my stroke. And I was just thinking to myself, like, I'm in my 20s. Why am I doing this already? This is something that I should do when I'm 60. No offense to anyone out there that, you know, I'm thinking that that's just the lifestyle of, you know, elderly people. It's a relaxing, it just, to me, it's kind of a relaxing thing.
It's a low impact sport.
It is very low
impact. Mainly mental.
But you got very, very much, that's where I was going with this. It's very much mental because you can go out there, and like I was saying, like the best I've shot is like a 102, right? But usually I'm up in the 120s.
It's totally okay. It's totally okay.
And like you went out, you shot like in the 80s before, but how, you can't consistently do that.
No, I can't.
It's got to drive you nuts.
Oh man! I mean,
scratch golfers.
You know? Yeah, but see, my competitiveness level as I've aged has simmered. Like where maybe I used to get riled up about certain things, I just don't anymore. And
do you get riled up about UT baseball?
I am excited that they are doing well, but no. But I'm
Will
also
you be riled up at 6 p.m.
Oh well, yeah, because I want them to win. But
that's
I'm
first pitch, baby.
But I'm also way more excited for the fact that the guys, gals, everybody who's a baseball fan and those in Occupy Left Field got a chance to see this team,
oh, yeah.
you know, before go on this
so,
run.
Yeah, Mark is one of the best to do it. So he obviously, you know, got a great pulse on this team, and I'm sure that they have made, as a matter of fact, I know they've made the trek up there to Omaha.
Oh,
to,
easily.
To watch them on
People were super excited about
dude,
this.
It's the 37th trip to Omaha. This is not a homer take. This is just fact. Like, this is the best baseball program in the history of collegiate sports.
I would say so. I mean, they've had their key players like the Clemens come through. They've had Olympic champions come through. They've gotten people to the majors. They've won their championships. You think back to Augie and everything that he was able to accomplish.
So if they win the World Series, are they easily comparable to the 2005 team?
Shoot, yeah, definitely so. I mean, how can you not? I mean, this run's been fantastic.
This I think, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, and I really got to, I'd love to get Mark's perspective on this from Occupy Left Field, but, dude, is this one of the best teams you've ever seen assembled with Texas baseball?
Or honestly, just in college baseball, you know, over the last decade or so, this
the
is
lineup
really,
1 through 9.
Yeah, it's really
tough.
Strong.
It's you got three dominant pitchers that can just, you know, this, throw the lights out at you, man.
I mean, this team is set up to win the tournament. It's set up perfectly for tournament play to win this to win the World Series. But but you just never know what happens in these type of games.
Right.
I mean, everybody's going to be really good, and it just takes one slip up.
You had the regional and the super regional here in Austin, so that
helped
a big advantage. You know, playing, you know, having the home.
The home crowd,
or, yeah, that's
that were rambunctious and rowdy. Maybe not as loud as the Austin FC fans, but pretty close.
I mean, you got to think that, you know, that crowd, that raucous crowd, got into the heads of some of the hurlers from the opposing teams, and
especially
it's tough
after
the dish, dude.
Especially after a year without people,
right?
Yeah,
right. So I don't know. That game, first pitch, you know, around six o'clock on ESPN2. There, make sure you're watching that. You know, support our Longhorns. They're taking on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. So gonna be tough, man. 37 trip to Omaha. I've got a strong feeling that they get this done, man. Strong feeling, especially without Arkansas in the way now. I mean, or it's kind of the stars are aligning.
Yeah, it's like when Portugal won the 2016 Euro. I mean,
without Ronaldo.
Yeah, you know, at the very end, but the path lined up perfectly for them to utilize that team at their strengths, and obviously it looks like the path is going to line up pretty sweetly for UT. We have really good chance at this.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Euros real quick. Going through, I don't know about, you know, you did pick France. No,
England.
England.
Yes,
misery.
England.
Misery.
Enjoy
does
it.
Love company.
Yep.
Sorry, man.
I'm never lonely.
Sorry, man. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, I want to sit there and think that Three Lions can get it done. They just always seem to come up short.
That's the...
They can't get out of their own way, but they got a lot of young talent, bro. They do have a lot of... Especially in that midfield.
He hasn't played most of it, but we'll see. You know, I'm waiting for the knockout stages. I think that's when you'll get to see...
Southgate, the coach?
Yeah, the former international and one that missed at Euro 96 on the penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, see, the misery just runs through the bloodline of the English national team.
Well, usually that's, you know, they always say that in Premier League football, too, is that, you know, death, taxes, and Chelsea letting you down is usually what's going to happen.
Well, this year was death, taxes, and Chelsea winning Champions League.
Champions League, baby. Still, that's what I'm talking
still
about.
Still kind of bitter about that.
Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. You know, on... We talked about, you know, summer acquisitions coming for Austin FC, but one of the things that I think has to happen for Chelsea is Timo Werner's got to go.
Oh, easily. You guys should be able to take that money and put it towards somewhere else.
Yeah, I would love to have Haaland come. I think that's got to be the biggest recruitment tool was hoisting the Champions League, and then he's got Chelsea on the brain. That's
too bad
sure.
You guys couldn't convince Memphis Depay to show up. That would have been dangerous.
Be winning for a long time. Hey, great show. A big shout out to Phil West for jumping on and talking a little bit about chronicling the buildup from Austin FC, from where it started and where we're at now. Thank you to Al Walsh for coming on and talking about all the green that we needed in our pocket. Big shout out to JD Lewis as well for talking a little bit of this fantasy sports realm. Dynasty League's kicking off. Make sure you're getting into your mock drafts. Don't go nowhere. Got really good syndicated radio coming on, and then also we'll have the call of the game with the Longhorns baseball. Hey, you guys know the drill. Be safe out there. Love each other and enjoy the ride.